right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What is going on, Tommy? Episode 74 of the Fresh Juice podcast, and as always, it's great to have you on the show, Tom.
it is great to have I'll agree with you there. It's great to have me on this show. We got a great one for you all this week. We are off the heels of two Certified Fresh Juices in a row. If you're new to this show, Certified Fresh Juice is our highest rating. So if you want to go back and look at those episodes, I also kind of spoiled what the ratings are. But if you're interested to see what we said about them, it's a good time over there. But will we repeat it this week is the question. And we are reviewing a game called The Three-Peat. Oh, yep. Boy. Listen, he's wearing an Eagles shirt. It might not happen. Die in the Dungeon, a new dice builder. It's in early access. I got to play the prologue at one point. I enjoyed it. So kind of had it on my radar. So pretty, not like hyped, but like, you know, I was excited to play it. So we'll see if it meets expectations or really exceeds them. So we'll get to that. But first, how you doing? How was your weekend?
I am doing good. Yeah, I actually I had off of work today, and
really?
Well, I took off of work, I should say, okay. Just because work's there's been some shitty stuff happening, and so my boss is like, "Hey, if you need to take a day, feel free to take it, and it won't like count or whatever." So, So I was like, "All right, I'll do Monday." Yeah, it's been good to have a little bit of a long weekend there. You know, I had like a good panini today. Yeah, it was a pastrami panini. And then what else did I do this weekend? Oh, my dad came over to the house and we like built some shelves. We're trying to like, we have this like weird, awkward room underneath our stairs. It's like, we call it Harry Potter's closet, but, sure. Or Harry Potter's room, I guess. I don't know. We just kind of, it was a mess in there. So my dad came over and we like built some shelves that kind of go on just the side there and kind of made it like a second pantry. It never really had like a purpose. So that's great because our pantry was kind of like overflowing and just messy. Yeah, it was good. You know, it's good to get something done in the house and, you know, it kind of is that quality of life improvement, which is great. Very you know, nice. Getting a new dishwasher too. We're doing adult things this past weekend because our dishwasher started leaking everywhere. And it's like, I think it's like over 20 years old probably because it's from the last owners. But anyway, yeah, just did some adult things this week, you know, not too exciting, but you know, I'm excited as someone in my 30s now, like these things, I'm like, yeah, this is actually exciting for me because it's going to improve my daily life. So, there you go, Tom. There it is.
Yeah, you got to get it in before the baby for sure.
Yeah.
You know, then all the focus goes that way. But listen, my weekend was busy. I had people over, or I should say the wife had people over. I guess we're together, so we had people over. And we've met. you know, we partied the night away. We went to bed at like 4 a.m. And I haven't done that in a very long time. And I was feeling it yesterday. And I was feeling it while I was playing the game that we reviewed or going to be reviewing. So I wonder if that's going to skew my opinion. I don't think so. I think I have a pretty good grasp on how I feel about this game. So it's good. And then last night saw a buddy that's home visiting from Canada. So, you know, we're trying to keep him here. You know, because we miss them is pretty much it. So that's it. Like last week, you know, I'm trying to eat a little bit cleaner. So I like kind of trying to get on like a pretty good like plan, like rice, protein, veggies for lunch and dinner. And, you know, it worked out for pretty much the whole week until the weekend. I'm giving the weekends back to myself, you know. That would be crazy. I can't be doing that all the time, but it's going well. I like doing it. Makes me feel a little bit better, clearer head and stuff like that. So you know, hopefully it shows in the podcast. Yeah. Or it might not. We will see. But hey, we do have some news for you all, as we always do. We do have a Discord. Check it out. It's in the show notes below, the Fresh Juice Discord. It's awesome. You can find out about cool games, demos, whatever. You can chat with us, chat with anybody. Well, not anybody, but anybody in the Discord. So check that out. And before we do get to the game review, we have some indie game news. You know, for a long time, people thought that this was just a Balatro podcast. But it's been a bit minute since we had any Balatro news. We got a new Friends of Jimbo pack. I don't know if it hit today. I played Balatro this morning before I saw the announcement, so I didn't even check. But it is the kind of like Xbox edition. And yep, because it's out on Game Pass now, which I guess is it never was. I didn't even realize. And alongside that, there are, you know, this Friends of Jimbo skin packs for all the face cards. And there was like a bunch. It was like Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fallout.
What
else am I missing?
Yeah, we got Assassin's Creed, Bugsnacks, Critical Role, Dead by Daylight, Fallout, and it says Vault Tech for Fallout, so I guess that's the character.
Oh yes, thumbs up guy.
Yeah, Rust, Civilization 7, Slay the Princess. So a lot of them in this Friends of Jimbo. I think more than the other ones, right? I think the other ones were like four or five. This is like, I don't know, six or seven.
That is more. I'll tell you that. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. It's not a lot of games I've played or spent a lot of time playing.
Eight.
But eight. What was that? It's eight.
It's eight.
There you go. It's double the amount.
Yeah. But,
you know, some of those were like some kind of curveballs. When I saw Rust, I was like,
yeah,
that's like a game that's like stood the test of time in a lot of ways. And I remember when it first came out and I played a little bit of it, and that was like maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not that long, but like, I think I was in college. I'm not sure, but
yeah, it's old. Yeah. It's an oldish game, you know?
Yeah.
What interests me about that too, is that like out of all those games, like Rust doesn't, as far as I know, it doesn't really have like a mascot, right? Like I wouldn't necessarily
like
see something
guy
in like Balatro, you know, the Balatro art style, and be like, that's Rust. I'd be like, that's a naked dude with a torch. Like, what game is that?
Yeah.
Which is actually what it is. I see like the rock and stuff, but I guess the way he's holding the rock, that's like a Rust kind of thing. So
sure.
I don't know. Yeah, but definitely an interesting game to have on here out of all these. But good to see Balatro, you know, doing another update. Four of these before the content update. Pretty wild. Poor Friends of Jimbo.
Well, yeah. Listen, it's got to be coming. I did read, I think I talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. I did read a interview from Local Thunk talking about the update and was kind of keeping the lips sealed, as it were. But you also put it, Local Thunk posted something. Was this about the Peggy issue?
Yes, yeah. So Local Thunk tweeted, after an appeal from my publisher, Balatro has been reclassified by Peggy from 18 plus to 12 plus. And he goes on to say, this is a good step from Peggy, bringing nuance to their ratings criteria that used to be 18 plus or nothing. I hope this change will allow developers to create without being unfairly punished. So, yeah, I think this is an awesome step. I think there should be you know, a lot more nuance in like ratings in general. Like, why do we only have like four ratings, like for games? Or I mean, even for movies, like I feel like you can kind of, you know, I guess it might be a little bit different for movies because those are kind of set in what they are. Games, you know, are I guess a little bit open-ended, can have updates, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But I think this is great because Local Thunk has clearly been against kind of the gambling view that some people have with Balatro, and like, oh, it should be in like a casino or whatever, which we might have said on the show when we first played it, because we would win money. That's why. But yeah, I think this is a, you know, it's a small update, but it's also could have like a big ripple effect for those ratings out there. So
yeah,
pretty cool.
Peggy, about time, Peggy, or as I like to call her, Margaret. which I believe is the somehow the nickname for Margaret is Peg. I don't understand.
Oh my God. Did you That's not know true. That? No, I did, but I forgot about that. Yeah. That is true. That's crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
But other than that, Steam Next Fest is going on right now. So a lot of demos out there. I think next week we're going to probably cover some demos that we checked out. That would be kind of a fun episode. I think we did that a lot, maybe one of the Next Fests. But, you know, keep an eye out for that. And if you see any really cool demos, let us know. Because demos are awesome. You get to get a little taste. So, and like half the games that we ended up really liking, we found on a demo initially. Now, speaking of a demo or a prologue, as you know, is kind of the weird like middle ground between early access and a demo. But Die in the Dungeon, the game that we're reviewing this week, was a prologue that I had played. What is it? It is a dice builder, roguelike dice builder. This is not unlike Slay the Spire, but the description is fight your way through a mysterious dungeon in this deck-building, turn-based roguelike game where you don't use cards, but dice. Deal with enemies by combining powerful dice on your board, boost their effects with magical relics, and risk it all hoping for a good roll on unexpected encounters. Now, this gameplay, if you're familiar with, I think Slay the Spire is probably the best example we have of this kind of formula. Your person is on the left, the enemies are on the right, and you have cards, in this case, dice, to play. Now, you're going to see the classic, roguelike, what do you call it? Like the web, the map of, you know, multiple different like choices in terms of which direction to go on the map to get to the final boss, right? And that's very indicative of what we see in a lot of games right now that are trying to do this. Now, where the cards are not the dice are, and they all will have a certain kind of ability, whether it's blocking or attacking. There are some that buff a certain area. Now, there is a board where you can fit these dice into, which is kind of how you're going to create different kinds of strategies and synergies. And it all depends sometimes on how you place these dice. So there's the basic deck that you get is going to have some attacks, some blocks, some heals, and some boost dice or whatever. So the boost will basically light up certain blocks in the block that you're playing the dice for you to increase the numbers of the dice that you rolled. It sounds all convoluted. It's very actually simple, right? So basically your hand is all the dice and they get rolled and they all have X amount of sides to them. And, you know, if it's a four-sided dice, it's only going to have four options. If it's a six-sided dice, it's going to have six options. And there are ways to kind of modify them as you go through. So you're kind of going through, you see the intentions of the enemies. It's turn-based, so you can be like, okay, this enemy is going to attack me for 10. I should focus on blocking and maybe sneaking a little bit of damage too. So you'll load up on blocking dice first. You always, I don't know if you always, but like against most enemies, you will go first. So like if you increase your block, you will have defense before the enemy hits you. Because as soon as you submit your dice, everything happens. But you go first, which is good to know. Now, sometimes you'll both get the attack off. I don't know if that's all the time. I noticed it when I died once. I was like, I thought I was going to kill the enemy, but I didn't. Now, you can choose which enemy you're targeting, which is kind of cool. So you can kind of plan out your turn like that. And yeah, it's kind of the gameplay, right? You're just kind of going through. When you win, you get the option to pick one of three new dice, add it to your deck. And then there's also these relics that work a lot like the relics in Slay the Spire, where they're going to give you kind of a permanent boon or a permanent buff to certain things, or will reward you for playing certain kind of dice in a certain kind of way. And yeah, the challenge here, though, is when you run into more difficult enemies, they'll change the way your board is. They'll block certain squares on your board to make it tougher for you to do boosts and stuff like that. So it's a pretty fun gameplay experience. I feel like the only thing that I wanted more out of the actual gameplay was more synergies, because this is where, like, I like these dice building games. I think they're a lot of fun, but sometimes it just feels like without the card aspect, you have a lot more of a limited range of, like, design, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest thing here, because, you know, it's they have, like, interesting dice for you to use, but sometimes you're like, well, I don't want to just another attack. I want the attack to do this or that. And, like, you get a little bit of that here and there. You can, like, modify dice to have, like, poison or whatever. But it felt like it wasn't really coming as much as I wanted in the dice aspect of things. But that being said, I think as you unlock more dice and more relics, it gets a little bit better. But in the initial gameplay loop, first couple gameplay loops, it felt like you were kind of sticking to similar strategies every single time, which is probably fine. Like, it's still a pretty deep game. It's in early access, so I feel like there's still a lot of room to grow these synergies, and it's still a really classic gameplay loop that if you kind of like Slay the Spire or stuff like that, you're kind of like this.
Yeah, I will say I think they did a good job of, like, the onboarding for the game, because to me, you know, there's, you know, and we'll talk about this also on the art side, but there's a good amount to this game that you need to remember, just because I've never played, like, a dice builder before. So this is kind of, you know, it took me a bit to realize, oh, the, you know, every time I'm drawing, it's rolling the dice for me. Mm-hmm. And then that value, you know, applies. So I didn't know if it was something like I'm rolling the dice, you know, and based on that, you know, something happens. So, you know, I think they did a good job explaining that. And, like, you know, it's definitely was a game for me where, like, I was going in with different expectations with the gameplay. And then, as I went through the onboarding, it, like, you know, I was like, oh, like, okay, it's not what I thought, but this is not, like, super complicated, but there are a good amount of kind of systems and, like, a good amount of text you have to read if you're just learning, you know, how to play, and, you know, understanding what the icons are and all that sort of stuff. So it had, I guess, more of a learning curve is what I'm trying to say than I was originally kind of thinking. But I did find the, you know, the encounters pretty rewarding. You know, obviously I think it's a lot more fun, like, when you're on the offensive than when you're trying to just survive and you're just throwing up any blocks that you have. But I definitely agree about kind of the variety of, like, synergies. Like, there's not a lot of, I guess, really interesting effects that can happen, at least, like, in the beginning. Like, it takes a while to get those things, like, when you reach a shop or, like, you know, you can apply things to dice and then you're kind of, you know, playing it a little bit differently. So I can definitely see how, you know, if maybe there were cards, I think it's just because we play a lot of card games and those effects on those cards are typically, or, you know, you play a lot, but I've played a decent amount of card games and, like, the effects that happen on cards are, like, a lot more significant than, like, mm-hmm. what's happening on the dice. I found a lot of the time, like, I would have, like, leftover dice, like, extra attacks that, like, I just didn't need. And I just kind of, like, you know, cruise through, like, certain enemies. You know, and certain levels kind of felt easier than other levels. But yeah, it would be cool if maybe the variety of dice that you have when you kind of start, like your starting deck or whatever you want to call it, is it just kind of has maybe some poison cards are thrown in there, like you said, or I forget some of the other abilities, but I think there's an ability where, like, if you attack one enemy, it also does a certain amount of damage to the other enemy, like things like that, like kind of more interesting sort of synergies maybe could kind of happen with that. especially with those tiles that you get where it like buffs the attack damage or block damage or whatever it is, buffs the value. But one thing with the game that like maybe you can explain it to me, but with the gameplay, I don't understand the board. Why does the board look like that? Is that just like, does it not really have a difference? Because for those who aren't watching, like it's a diamond shape and there's 9 slots. But I don't know, like for whatever reason, like the orientation of the board, I was just like, am I supposed to put the block? Like, does it matter where I'm putting the block? Like that sort of stuff. I just didn't know really. I guess it doesn't really matter, but does it reach a point? I mean, maybe I just didn't get there. Does it reach a point where like where you're placing these specific things matters?
Well, the boost cards do matter, right? Where you're placing them, because they will give a boost to a spot 4 spaces away or all within 1 space away, yada, yada, yada. So it matters. Now, this is not the only board, though. At you get different shaped boards as the game progresses. You unlock stuff. And, you know, it is an interesting piece to it. I don't really know if there is some kind of, like, game that I'm not familiar with, like a real dice game that I'm not familiar with that it's kind of based on, to be honest. But yeah, they're as the boards change, the synergies definitely change as well. But yeah, I know it could be a little weird because you're like, why is it like this? There's not really a lot of explanation. It just is. But I think that is part of the interesting variation in the game, the replayability, is you start using almost more like akin to the ballot show. You start using different decks.
Yeah.
You start using different boards. And the boards that you are given access to as the game progresses become either more challenging or just like will work better with different dice, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's I think that's an understandable thing to be a little like not worried about, but like confused by, because it is a little weird. It's unique to this game from what I can tell.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe it's because I kind of went in thinking this is going to be about like rolling. I'm going to roll each die. And that just doesn't happen. You know, like it's obviously like you're I don't know, just placing dice on a board that have already been rolled. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's probably just how I kind of went into it. But by no means do I think it's like a real issue. I just didn't know if there was like major significance behind it. I think this game does a good job in the gameplay category of capturing like why Slay the Spire is so great. Like I think that there's enough depth to it, even in early access, to really just, you know, kind of make every run interesting.
Yeah.
At least like from the runs that I played, it felt like each one I was like having a kind of a different strategy based on like the different enemies and different, just think like the different pathing that you have to go through. So I think in the gameplay category, they did a great job with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think there's a lot of positives to take from it. It's a really great start for early access. Now, in story wise, there's not a whole lot going on here. You are this frog. I don't even remember his name, but you're a frog and you're going through the dungeon. There are other characters you can unlock, but you start off with just the frog, and that's it. It's pretty cool. It's like the world they built is pretty neat. Like it's silly. It doesn't take itself too seriously. The enemy design, we'll talk about in the visuals, but like in terms of like the choices they made for the way they built this world felt pretty familiar to me, if that makes sense. Like, like I remember like playing like DS games and stuff like that had this same feel, right? It feels very 2002, 2003 in a way. This doesn't feel like a full blast from the past, like a pixel art game. You know, it has this kind of like Game Boy Advance / Nintendo first Nintendo DS cartoonishness to it, which I appreciated, like in terms of the world building. But yeah, no story to be found here.
I definitely see what you're saying. And I kind of think it's like a similar story with like Slay the Spire, where like Slay the Spire art style is like, you know, not kind of reminiscent of like pixel art or like kind of retro in that way, but it definitely seems like a little dated from when it kind of came out, which I think was like on purpose. As far as like story, I mean, I think it would be cool if there was more of a story, because the character that you play as, like the little frog dude, right? Like, yeah. You said, like, he's awesome. So maybe that's something that they'll be adding in their roadmap, maybe some more story elements, but it's probably, you know, not a priority for them.
There is a roadmap, and there is mention of story, and we'll get to the roadmap before we give a rating, but I hope that happens as well. Visual wise, I already touched on it. I like this art style. I imagine I could have played this on my Game Boy Advance SP, right? And it would have ran fine, I think, hopefully. But like, it just is. It's cute, right? It's a cute game where sometimes they can push these kinds of games in either direction. I feel like, you know, I've played a decent amount of like deck builder roguelikes or dice builders even, that are like, this is like heavy, dark, like fantasy, boom, boom, boom. And then you play stuff like this and Ember Ward, that's a little bit more vibrant and has like cutesy characters, but still delivers on the gameplay aspect. And I think this game looks great. Easy on the eyes. I like the character design. I already mentioned, like, there's a lot of life in this game, you know? And even like, this is something that I would give this game over Slay the Spire. I think that watching the way these characters move is so much more interesting to me than how Slay the Spire does it, right? And Slay the Spire is a certified classic at this point, right? And I'm looking at this, I'm like, I wish Slay the Spire might have been a little bit more like this. So I really like it, you know. The idea, I mean, it's a simple idea, but like the choice to make each color of dice do something different, so like you can start to remember. You don't even have to be like, oh, that's attack for two, I'm just going to place that, I know that. Or that one's splash damage for eight or whatever, like that the player in the video just put. So like it's a really clean looking game. I like the font too. It's pretty fun. So yeah, I really like the way this game looks.
I'm with you. I think the art style is really interesting. The characters you come across look cool. I mean, especially like this guy that's on the screen right now. And yeah, I was also kind of like examining the enemies, because you know they were interesting looking. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the way the game looks. It also kind of has almost like especially like in these, I don't know, I get like point and click, like flash game kind of vibes, like with like, you know, you got like the ink and the map of all the levels on the right. And then you got like your bag down on the left, but it looks like it's kind of sitting on these rocks and almost kind of like establishes like a foreground. Right. And then what you're doing is kind of, I guess, behind that. So I think they did a great job. Yeah, art wise, I also agree about the dice. It makes it easier to learn when you're like, oh, the green one heals, that makes sense. The red one attacks, that makes sense. The blue one blocks, like that makes sense to me too. And then like when, you know, you get like poison, the poison attribute, it's like a little bubbly kind of poison icon that is in like the corner. So yeah, all that makes sense. Really, the only kind of gripes I had with the art kind of more has to do with like, all right, so the UI, I enjoy the artistic side of the UI, but it definitely took me a bit to like figure out like where I really should be looking, or like what I know it kind of points out, like for the enemies, like this icon means like their intention that they're going to attack, and this is their health and all that sort of stuff. But I still kind of found myself getting a little like lost a bit. I think they maybe could do a better job of like, you know, you have a basically a dagger icon that goes next to the enemy that you've chosen to target. Maybe if that was a little bit more like pronounced a bit, maybe like, because you're in a dungeon, maybe there's kind of like a little kind of spotlightish sort of thing on the one that you're aiming to attack, because I assume it's kind of dark down there. And also because like the, you know, the background is like pretty active, I did find myself like sometimes like losing like, you know, oh, that's how much they were attacking for. Like, it would not be something I would like look at and check because of how it looks. I don't know, it wasn't like drawing my eye basically. So it's just like small things like that I think are just a part of early access. Like, I'm sure they'll fine tune that. And if we play this game in like a year, right, I'm sure it'll like, we'll notice all those little differences that they've made. So it really wasn't anything that took away from the gameplay, and the art overall is just like fantastic. I mean, like, look at this like relic shop here. Like, that is so cool looking. If you're not watching the video, I highly recommend it, because we especially with games like this, we get to show off like how awesome the art is. But yeah, so I think overall, yeah, the art was great. Just those small little things that I really think would make it like perfect if they were to like tweak those.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I will say, I really enjoyed the music here too. The sound was like nothing like crazy sound effects wise that I was like really jumping out, but like it had this really adventurous almost and like Indiana Jones-esque feel to the soundtrack. Like, even at one point, because I started doing something on a different screen, I had put it down, and I'm like listening to it, I'm like, okay, now I want to play more of this again, actually. And yeah, it felt pretty good. There were a couple blips there, and I think that might be just something that needs to be like smoothed out, where I can tell when it was looping, and I was like, oh, okay, they need to figure that out. But hopefully they can smooth that out. It's probably more on the performance side thing that they got to figure stuff like that out. But the music itself was pretty hype, and I know that I think they're going to put out the OST, which is, you know, clearly means that they have a lot of faith in the rest of the music that they already have. So,
yeah,
very excited for that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the music was great. It fit perfectly for like the environment you're in. Like, you already feel, you know, just looking at the screen, like we're watching it right now without the music, like you can already like kind of picture what like great music for this would be, because you feel like, yeah, you're on that adventure, and you're going through these different like dungeon rooms. So I'm with you. Yeah, I didn't really like, you know, have a lot to say about the sound effects. One thing though that I forgot to say with the art, which also ties into the sound effects, is I think it would be cool to, you know, as each turn starts and you get your kind of hand of the dice, is like have them roll in. Like, let me see the animation. I know they kind of like roll on the bottom, but like make it a little bit more like
pronounced.
Like, what is it going to roll to? You know, yeah. Oh, I got a great hand, you know? And I know that might like make the sessions a little bit longer, but I think it could be really rewarding and have like that great kind of like dice sound, like rolling sound, that kind of accompanies it. I don't know. Little details like that I think could be cool. But, you know, maybe it's also something that they tested, especially with the sound, and they found it like too annoying every single time that you're, you know, because you're drawing your hand every turn. So I don't know, just a little something like that. But music wise, I agree, really great and fits with the overall vibe of the game.
Well, you know, you're kind of onto something there with kind of giving the player a choice to have this pronounced version, right? Like, I play Balatro at like full speed now, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes like I'll see it pop up on TikTok and people are playing it or whatever, and they're still playing at the one time speed, which at first like bothers me. And I'm like, oh, you're getting like the full effect of what each card is triggering on your jokers and stuff like that, rather than it just kind of going a little faster. And you can't really, you could try to guess, like if you didn't know, you could try to guess what is happening with your jokers, but like you get the full effect. I think they could kind of benefit from having what you just suggested as like, oh, make the dice more important. Like not important. Make them hyper. You got to, you know, like, you want to be hyped to see these dice and what they do, right? Rather than like, oh, okay, here's my options now. Let me see what I can do with it. So I think you're onto something right there. But
well, thank you.
Oh, no problem. Hey, listen. Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, but you make a great point too about like Balotro, like, you know, when they could easily have just kind of like every time you get a new hand, just like rise it up from the bottom, right? But instead mm-hmm. they're, you know, like giving you your hand. And then when you're the Jokers are going and everything, it's like, you know, like it's just very satisfying to have that happen, regardless of like the speed that you're playing at. You're, you know, you kind of amped for that. So, yeah, I, you know, again, what I already said, but I think it'd be great to have that in a game like this. I think it'd work really well. It doesn't work well in like every kind of game, but there's something like so specific, right, about like dice. Like when you say like, oh, I got some dice, you know, like, I don't know. I just picture
the sound
Ocean's
effect.
11.
The sound effect of a dice roll is like something we're all familiar with and like you kind of look for. So yeah, if they could lean into that, it'd be nice. Now, performance wise, I mentioned I guess I had some issues, but like it was like some music stuff, but nothing really like visually or like game breaking or anything like that. It is early access, but this is one of those games like this is a full game that they're just gonna add everything else to as they go through. But did you have any issues?
No, yeah, no issues on my end. I think it ran great, and no, it's a not a very fast